This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Coming up in 20 minutes, Cole Custer, rookie. NASCAR winner at the Kentucky Speedway last weekend. We'll talk to Cole about the dramatic four-lane pass that helped him win the race in Kentucky last weekend. Cole Custer coming up here on the show in about 20 minutes from now. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. The world is waiting to see what the Washington Post story will be. Apparently, an unflattering piece that delves into a toxic culture surrounding Washington football and Dan Snyder. John Gonzalez of ABC 7 in D.C. tweeting, "Working my sources, but apparently changing the name will be old news when a bombshell report is expected to surface from the Washington Post. There's growing buzz that unflattering news about the organization could come out in just hours. We'll be live with the latest." Mike Freeman, longtime NFL columnist, you might remember him from being a guest here on the DA show, and then getting into a Twitter spat with Mraz, and so he's never going to come on the show ever again, tweeted, "This is why all of the minority owners were abandoning ship on Dan Snyder. This is going to be bad." Mike Freeman was formerly of the New York Times and the Washington Post, so it would have been great to have him on the show, but of course he doesn't come on the show anymore because Mraz decided to pick a fight with him on Twitter. Sigh all you want. It's true.
I mean, he hasn't come on in 4 years, well before there was any Twitter fights picked, which is why I felt fine about it. He blows people off.
But you definitely set fire to whatever chances we may have had to have a guy that used to work at the Washington Post and covers the NFL from joining us on the show to actually talk about a Washington Post story about the NFL that could rock the sports landscape.
Sure. If I took it from 2% to 0%, then I own that, yes.
So we're waiting to see, monitoring when this story is going to come out. All things that are swirling around the social media and Twitterverse are all very damning. Who knows if that'll be that bad? But what we know is this. there are two parts of the sports landscape that desperately want something to be really bad about Dan Snyder. Number one, the people that have worked for him or covered him that can't stand him. From a non-football standpoint, he has just made a lot of enemies from his tyrannical approach, being a Richie Rich of sorts that pushes people away, that is defiant, that is egomaniacal, that is stuck in his ways and refuses to give anybody else credit. Dan Snyder has a lot of enemies, a lot. People don't like working for him or working with him. The other side of the people that are hoping something befalls him very terribly is fans. Washington football fans have been stuck in a state of despair for 20 years under his reign of terror, his reign of a new coach every couple of years, his reign of keeping his cronies employed, that even if they are clearly doing a poor job, letting them excuse away all of the losing, like Bruce Allen, a guy that has been incompetent in terms of building a winner or a stable franchise. Football fans in the Beltway desperately want something bad to be in this report to get him to sell. And let me tell you, if in one fell swoop we get the team name change that's been offensive for years and a real owner in instead of Dan Snyder, boy, that is a W upon a W for Washington football fans and the NFL in general. If you can wipe clean Dan Snyder's smudgy fingerprints all over that franchise and the league, if you can wipe that out and get the name changed, oh boy, is that a win. So this is a huge week potentially for Washington football fans and the NFL. And NFL without Dan Snyder is a better, stronger NFL. So we will monitor this. If the story comes out in the next hour, obviously we'll address it. We'll talk about it. If not, we will wait to see if it comes out later on today. Now, from a college basketball standpoint, another win for the G League. The number one ranked recruit in the class of 2021. This is the number one kid, Jonathan Kuminga, five-star prospect, was looking hard at Texas Tech, has decided to forego college basketball and instead go to the G League. Another big name going to the G League's select team. This has become a very enticing option for blue chip recruits instead of going overseas or playing college because they get to make big money. The same money they would make by taking under-the-table payments in college basketball, get paid legitimately and good cash, and you don't have to go overseas to do it. A lot of these kids wanted to get paid, but they didn't want to go to China or Israel. They didn't want to go to Greece to go have to do that. They didn't want to have to go to Australia to go get paid. They want to play stateside, but they want to get paid because that's what they're worth. College basketball programs paying them under the table. They'd rather get the cash and play stateside. Well, now they get both, the best of both worlds. Get to stay stateside, get to get paid. Now, is anybody going to be watching G League games in that arena? Maybe, maybe not. It's certainly not going to be Cameron Indoor. But you get exposure on TV, certainly. Kuminga saying, quote, with the G League, it's going to help me get to the NBA a lot more than college. They'll teach me how to get open on the court and reach my goal to be drafted in 2021. Potential top five pick in the NBA draft. And the Athletics, Shams Charania, reporting that his deal is worth about a half mil. Whoa. Real cash. Now remember Jalen Green also, a projected top five pick in next year's NBA draft, also going to the G League. You've got players going to the G League instead of going onto college campuses. And this is really, really bad for college basketball. That two top five picks are saying, We'd prefer to play in the G League than go to the college campuses. And this is one thing that college has always worried about. If there was ever an option, kids are going to take that option. And I think long term, it could be actually beneficial to college basketball, because long term, it would then evolve these colleges into just chasing one and dones, top tier recruiting talent, instead of looking for the one savior to their program, instead of churning the roster year in, year out, and just waiting for everybody to leave. Instead, college basketball could benefit long-term from stability of teams that stay together longer, of more recognizable names that are there for 3 or 4 years, of fans knowing that you recruit a kid and he's not gone after one season, that instead you know you've got him for multiple years and you can grow with him, he can grow with the program, and you can feel a certain attachment. I think long-term that could be a benefit. Short-term, it's devastating for college basketball, because fans right now don't know the rosters of college basketball. They only are tuning in for the NCAA tournament, and maybe if there is a top-tier draft pick that somebody wants to see from an NBA standpoint, oh, let me see this kid, like a Zion. Now, there's only one Zion or one LeBron who didn't play in college every 20 years or so, so you can't really hang everything on that. But there's still people that tune in to watch, oh, could that kid get drafted in the lottery? Could that kid get drafted in the top three? Could this kid get drafted in the top five, top 10? And you'd really not have a lot of that, because if all of those kids that would get drafted that early are jumping directly to the G League, you would have a second tier of talent in college basketball that maybe some ugly basketball sometimes. But here's why I think it makes sense for all parties. Number one, for these kids, it's silly for them to have to worry about taking cash, like Zion and his stepdad and the Duke thing. Let's say he took 400 grand, which we'd be totally entitled to because that's what he is worth. That if Duke didn't pay it, or a runner for Duke or an Adidas company or a Nike company didn't do it, somebody would pay for him. He shouldn't have to worry in his NBA career, uh-oh, I'm going to look like the villain for taking that cash. Even though everybody takes that cash, I'm going to end up looking like the bad guy. He shouldn't have to worry about looking over his shoulder on that. Number two, if you're really worried about getting NBA coaching, the G League is NBA coaching within a farm system. So hypothetically, you would be getting NBA-style coaching instead of college-style coaching by college coaches that are coaching in college but are somehow also supposed to be teaching you how to play in the NBA as well. Two totally different things. Yes, being a good basketball player is a good basketball player, but it's a weird thing when you go to a college coach because you think he'll prepare you for the NBA. It's a weird thing. Like, that college coach is not serving his basketball team. Instead, he's serving you to get you to college because he's hoping the ancillary benefit is you being so great, you'll win college basketball games. And number three, I think it just helps make college basketball know what it is more. You know, it's bizarre that college basketball exists on a plane where let's get these kids for just 1 year and watch them go to the NBA. Because all we need them is just, even if we have their greatness for 1 year, we'll take it. It's a weird thing. It's just really a bizarre existence that college basketball has. They're paying players, but under the table. They've got to act like they want players for just 1 year. And those one-year players just churn and burn constantly. And they're never around. And you have coaches like Jim Boeheim at Syracuse who will openly talk about his kids not being ready to go to the NBA and them still ducking out anyway. No, he's really not ready. He should stick around. So it's such a weird dynamic in play. And if you had a college basketball landscape which went away from the one and dones and trying to just attract the best talent, but instead saying, well, how do we piece together our best team? That John Calipari wouldn't be just racing for the single best talent that could be gone, or Coach K or Jim Boeheim, But instead saying, okay, well, we got a point guard here that's a rookie, that's a freshman. Let's not recruit the next freshman point guard. Instead, we need a power forward here because our power forward's going to graduate. Let's bring in a best kid there. We think that these two, their styles mesh well, so why don't we put those two guys together because, hey, we think that for 3 years they can grow and develop. The Ja Morant corollary. You know, Murray State didn't recruit Ja Morant saying he's going to be one and done. They recruit Ja Morant to be a developmental piece that hopefully when he's done helps them get to an NCAA tournament and get some splash, which he did. That could end up being far better in the long run for college basketball. So for Kuminga, another great player who's saying, forget college, I'm going to the G League. But maybe then also alters our expectation for college. And maybe there's a magic that we can then get to in college basketball where there's a different style that we get attracted to, and that different style allows us to appreciate the game in a different way. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. I've been handed a breaking news bulletin. Mraz is telling me that Vlad Guerrero Jr. has become F-A-T. I don't want to say that word because I'm not allowed to, Mraz has told me. But this is devastating because Vlad Guerrero Jr. is supposed to be one of the hottest prospect and young stars in baseball. You're telling me that this man has gained a lot of weight during quarantine?
Fat. Yes. I read that he was moved to first base, which already when you're that young and supposed to be that athletic and you're moved to first base, it's a troubling sign. It's a Prince Fielder-esque sign. And John Boy on Twitter, who's very good with the baseball videos, posted a video of a fun Blue Jays double play, and in it turns and Vlad Guerrero Jr. catches the ball at first base. And Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'm telling you, I know he was a little pudgy, has to have put on 35 to 40 pounds since last year's
40 pounds?
I think he does not look good in that uniform. He's got a big rumpus, no question, big old rump, and the gut is hanging over the belt as he jogs back. I'm watching the video right now. It's a really troubling look for a young star with that powerful at bat. And if this is only the beginning, Vlad Guerrero Jr., I would venture to guess, is on alert to eat himself out of the league eventually if this is how much weight he's already gained after a little success.
I have a hard time believing, though, that it's at 40 pounds. 40 pounds is an enormous amount of weight to add.
He always had the wide hips, I understand that, but the gut has definitely began to hang over the belt, and the... And let's just say it, his bump there, his behind, is quite jiggly. There is, it's two big old hams sitting back there as he jogs off the field, and it's sloppy. He looks very sloppy, and I have to question where Vlad Guerrero's head was at during this pandemic. I think his head was buried in a lot of snacks. I really do.
Hefty. Let me ask you this. Do you think that just because he had a big frame, he was eventually going to grow into a big boy anyway, and this is just kind of fast-forwarded that?
Perhaps, and perhaps he's a victim of being the son of Vlad Guerrero, where I always picture Vlad Guerrero to never be hefty. But there's filling into your body, through the weight room and muscles, and there's filling into your body through a lot of bags of barbecue chips. And this, D.A., I've seen it because I look in the mirror every day. I know the difference between muscle and fat. That's a lot of fat on Vlad Guerrero. So now there's room for him to turn that into muscle. But I'm worried for a young guy maybe just getting by on what his natural given ability was, that he thinks he could just eat every snack he wants and just still have that bat speed. And this is very troubling. He's already moved to first base. This is a guy the Blue Jays have high expectations for. That's a lot of Canadian bacon for Vlad Guerrero in Toronto, no doubt.
Uh-oh, a lot of poutine, a lot of Canadian bacon. Uh-oh, for Vlad Guerrero Jr. When we come back, the latest on what could be dropping today surrounding a bombshell report on Dan Snyder and the Washington football franchise. Plus, Cole Custer's going to join us. NASCAR rookie who won Kentucky last weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Find the DA Show on YouTube. The best of clips every single day. The funniest moments. The best interview moments. All available on YouTube. Binge watch the DA Show by searching CBS Sports Radio on YouTube. Glad you're with us. Cole Custer is going to join us. NASCAR rookie, having won at Kentucky last weekend. What a way to win. He's going to drop on by the DA show coming up in a few minutes. The world awaits for what this bombshell report is going to be from the Washington Post. John Gonzalez, ABC 7 in D.C., has tweeted, "We don't want to speculate, but we are hearing that the Washington Post is going to release a report involving a shocking sex scandal with the team. We are live this morning at their facility." So this is ABC 7 saying that the Washington Post report involves a shocking sex scandal. Again, we are monitoring this. When we have the story or details about the story, we will let you know if it happens in the next half hour. And if it happens later on today, obviously, we'll react on the show tomorrow morning. So that's the latest on that front. With everything else, standing by with our headlines, here's Andrew Bogish.
DA, our final headlines today are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 30,000 tickets were available. No official attendance was provided, so estimates had the crowd around 20 grand last night at Bristol Motor Speedway. No matter what, the largest crowd of NASCAR's return. They watched Chase Elliott win the annual All-Star Race.
Chase Elliott gets his first...
Super proud of you guys.
First All-Star win in his fifth start and becomes the 25th different driver to win NASCAR's All-Star Race.
Mike Joy and Elliott's radio on FS1, Chase and Dad Bill join the Earnhardts as the only father-son duos to win this race. Chase gets a $1 million check. It took a second follow-up tweet for Dwayne Wade to fully apologize for supporting Nick Cannon yesterday. Cannon was fired by Viacom-CBS for anti-Semitic comments on a podcast. Wade initially wrote, "We are with you, keep leading," but eventually said he didn't fully understand what Cannon had done and that he certainly doesn't support any type of hate speech. As we heard earlier this hour, Jonathan Kuminga has chosen the G League team for elite prospects over Texas Tech and other college programs. Kuminga is a 6'8 forward projected as a top five pick in the 2021 NBA draft. WNBA star Elena Deladon wrote an open letter to the league yesterday expressing her disappointment and anger over being denied medical clearance to sit out this summer. A three-person panel picked by the WNBA and the PA doesn't agree with Deladon's doctor, who says she's at a higher risk of COVID-19 because of her chronic Lyme disease. The Mystics say Deladon will remain on their roster, will get paid no matter what, and the door is open for Deladon to join them in the bubble if she ever feels comfortable. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge was back yesterday after missing 3 days with a stiff neck. Judge homered in his first at-bat of an intra-squad game. Mets ace Jacob DeGrom is day-to-day after an MRI showed no issues in his back. And Twins first baseman Miguel Sano reported to camp yesterday after testing positive for coronavirus 2 weekends ago. Army AD Mike Buddy said yesterday the same thing as Navy counterparts said earlier this week. They'll do almost anything to play the Army-Navy game scheduled for now for Philly in December. San Jose turned a 3-1 hole into a 4-3 win over Vancouver last night at the MLS tourney in Disney. The game winner came in the 8th minute of stoppage time. And Tiger Woods back on the PGA Tour this week. The Memorial, which he has won 5 times, is his first event since mid-February. Tiger's playing with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. They tee off at 1:17 Eastern. DA, back to you.
All right, thanks so much, AB. Cole Custer scheduled to join us coming up here on the show in a few minutes. One thing about this Dan Snyder story, which is kind of hanging over like a guillotine on Twitter and from the sports media standpoint, is that if Dan Snyder ever got pushed out of ownership and Washington ever got its act together, Ron Rivera now is their head coach, that would add problems to the rest of the division. I mean, one of the things that have had the Giants winning 2 Super Bowls in the last decade plus, and the Cowboys building what should be a perennial winner in the NFC East and win that division year after year, and the Eagles having won a Super Bowl as well, has been that partially Washington's been a disaster. That as a divisional game goes, Washington has been a breather so many times. There's been little blips. The season of RG3 was a really good season for them. You know, Kirk Cousins, at least for a couple of years, made them somewhat competitive. But when you look at under Dan Snyder's reign, Washington football has been, by and large, the dregs. And for where they once were, it's kind of staggering. Because under Joe Gibbs, that's a franchise that was not only competing for the division and winning the division, they were winning Super Bowls. Not one, not two, but three Super Bowls and going to a fourth. Under Joe Gibbs, they went in 82, 83, 87, 91. It is a team, it is an organization that if you were the Giants with Bill Parcells, or the Cowboys in Tom Landry or Jimmy Johnson, or the Eagles with Andy Reid, or going back to Buddy Ryan, Washington was a problem. Going to RFK and winning was almost an impossibility. And when you look at the last 20 years under Dan Snyder, I'm going to give you the win-loss records. 8-8, 8-8, 7-9, 5-11, 6-10, 5-11, 8-8, 4-12, 6-10, 5-11, 3-13, 4-12, 7-9, 7-9, 3-13. That's 17 of the 20 years. They had a 10-6 under Joe Gibbs 2.0. They had a 10-6 under Mike Shanahan of the RG3 era. They had a 9-7 under Jay Gruden. These are the high points, 10-6. Here's your coaches under Dan Snyder. Marty Schottenheimer, Steve Spurrier, Joe Gibbs 2.0, Jim Zorn, Mike Shanahan, Jay Gruden, Bill Callahan, Ron Rivera. The thing is, people don't even remember anymore just how great Washington used to be. Under Joe Gibbs, 82, they go 8-1 in a strike-shortened season, win the Super Bowl. 83, 14-2, lost in the Super Bowl. Many people believe that that was actually Joe Gibbs' greatest team. 84, 11-5. 85, 10-6. 86, 12-4 NFC Championship game. 87, 11-4, win the Super Bowl. 89, 10-6. 90, 10-6. 91, 14-2, win the Super Bowl, one of the greatest teams ever. That's what they used to be. And now it's just a joke. So if Dan Snyder is out, Ron Rivera stays there, and they have some consistency, good ownership, decent drafting, and not the bozos that Dan Snyder has kept around. He's fired everybody else, but kept the bozos like Bruce Allen around, and they actually become a contender. A lot less easy divisional wins for the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have really had no excuses under Jerry Jones. They've also been problematic, to say the least. They have not been to an NFC Championship game since 95. But at least the Cowboys have had winning teams, have gone to the playoffs, have won the division, have invested a lot of money. They've had big expectations, fallen short. But at least Cowboys fans go into most seasons going, hey, we got a shot. Washington fans don't. Let's go back to last weekend, Kentucky Speedway. What a race, what a finish it was. And a rookie, Cole Custer, four wide, getting the checkered flag. It leads him to his first All-Star race last night. Cole joins us here on the show. Cole, good morning and congratulations on last weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Really good to talk to you. Let's go back to the Kentucky Speedway because that is one of the highlights of the NASCAR season. You know, you were in 13th place and you end up winning that bad boy in the final 20 laps. Let's go back to 13th place. What is your attitude? What is your mindset there when you're that far back in the pack with 20 laps to go?
At that point, I mean, you're just trying to pass any cars that you can. I mean, I think that one of the biggest things about our cars right now is we have to have good restarts, which is, I mean, once you get going after the cautions, it's the best time to pass cars. So try to get as many as we could there, and we end up getting in a good spot and able to make some good moves, and it just worked out perfectly for us to be in the right spot and take advantage of it.
Is it one of those things where you have to try to make incremental advantages, incremental passes, okay, do a little bit here, do a little bit there, instead of thinking, hey, I've got to jump five, six, seven cars, I'm 13 back. Is it one of those things where all the little things just start adding up in those final 20 laps?
Yeah, I think so for sure. It's something where, you know, on a restart, you're going to try and get, you know, three or four cars here, three or four cars there, and you just try and keep making the best moves you can, but you're trying to, you know, manage your losses compared to your gains. You try and look at the things ahead of you and say, you know, I'm going to maybe gain a couple spots here, but I need to kind of manage here because I don't want to lose the spot.
It was an amazing finish as you are making headway, and then on the final laps, four wide, you go outside, benefit of the draft, and then zoom, an amazing finish. Take us through that final lap and what you were seeing and what you were trying to do there.
For me, I mean, it was just kind of, I knew I needed to get to the top. I think, you know, it's really good to be able to keep momentum on the top side up there. So it just worked out where I could get a good draft, and those guys, you know, I was able to get to their outside, and from there, I kind of knew I had it. It's just, I knew going into the restart that was kind of the move I wanted to make, but you never know if it's really going to play out. So luckily it did.
Amazing. What an amazing move. Cole Custer joining us this morning here on the show. As you're crossing the finish line, having won with such a dramatic finish, man, are you screaming to yourself? Are you whooping it up?
Oh, yeah. It was just so unexpected. I mean, just unimaginable. I mean, I think going into that race, you know, as a rookie, I just wanted to try and get some momentum built up towards the playoffs and just try and get our team moving in the right direction. And to come out of there with a win, it's just like you can't even imagine it. So it's something that, you know, I'll never forget the rest of my life.
What did some of the older drivers or crew members say to you after such a dramatic and bold way to win?
I mean, everybody was just really congratulatory, obviously. I mean, I think it was just, I'm really lucky to be with the team I am and have the teammates I have and to have their support. I mean, it's just huge. I mean, they've helped me a ton this year trying to get me going in my rookie year. So I think it's just a real honor to be with the team I'm with.
You're only 22 years old now, a rookie in NASCAR, but you've been winning races for a long time. You got three top 10 finishes this year. But also, if you go back to when you were just 16 years old, you were the youngest ever winner in the NASCAR Truck Series as well. At 16, most people are just trying to figure their way through high school. Maybe, am I going to go to college? What's my life going to look like? Do I have any career plans? And at 16, you're winning the NASCAR Truck Series race. At that moment, could that be overwhelming as a 16-year-old, or did you always feel comfortable in that role?
Definitely never felt comfortable in that role. it was kind of strange. I mean, obviously, I was kind of always the quieter kid, and I think winning that race when I was 16, I mean, I was doing interviews with, you know, pretty, you know, big media interviews. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was cool. I mean, it just, you got to keep doing those things, keep winning races to make it, and I think it's just, I've been lucky enough to be with some good teams and drive some good cars, but hopefully we can have some more wins here in the future.
Your win last week at Kentucky was the first by a rookie in 4 years, and so you were kind of thrust in that role again. Were you more comfortable doing your series of interviews and talking about a win this time around when you got the W this weekend?
Definitely more comfortable than I was when I was 16. I know that, but it's still pretty, you know, unimaginable and hard to imagine, you know, overall, just kind of you know, being able to be in this spot so fast, honestly. So, I mean, it's just something that, you know, I couldn't even think of coming into this year.
Cole Custer joins us here on the show this morning, driving the number 41 Ford Mustang. You know, one thing that I thought was, after you won this past weekend, a couple of days later, you're going to now have to run in the All-Star race, which is just such a quick turnaround. Like, whoa, how did this happen? So you end up racing last night in the All-Star race, and you finish 16th at Bristol. What was that turnaround like to realize, wow, this is awesome to win a race? Oh, wow, I'm now racing Wednesday night in the All-Star race.
Yeah, it was fast, honestly. It was not much time to prepare, and I mean, I think it was really cool to be a part of, though. I mean, obviously, the All-Star race is such an honor to be a part of, and it's something that's really cool for the team, and I think it's something you'll never forget, because it's, you never know when it's going to happen again. So I think it's it was really cool to be a part of. I wish we ran a little bit better, but I think, you know, it was just, the track seemed to change on us a little bit since the last race at Bristol, and I think we had some ideas going back there, but it's just, you know, it was definitely an honor to be a part of and race against all those guys out there with the fans there, too. We had 30,000 fans at Bristol, so it was cool to have them back and, you know, cheering, and it was strange because we haven't had fans there in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, not having fans for a while now and getting used to that and now suddenly having 30,000 fans there, what was the experience like to have fans back in the stands?
It was cool and also strange at the same time. You know, I think, the fans are such a big part of our sport, and, you know, they make our sport. So to have them back was huge, and have them, you know, cheering and, you know, hyping us up before the race and everything, I think everybody was pretty pumped up, honestly. But at the same time, we haven't seen them in, you know, 3 or 4 months, so we kind of got used to just the silence. But it's definitely, you know, it's really nice having them back, and hopefully, you know, things keep getting better and better. We can have more back in the future.
Yeah. Last night, NASCAR experimented with the glowing undercarriage lights. And so the Fords had the blue lights, Chevys had the orange lights, Toyotas had the red lights. Some of the drivers liked it, other drivers did not like it. What'd you think about the undercarriage lights?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes it feels, or it looks like you're driving in the Fast and Furious movie, I guess. But it's different. And I don't know. I'm kind of impartial to it, I guess. I mean, I can go without them or with them. I guess I just drive the car.
Yeah, I hear you. Was it distracting at all to see those lights all over the racetrack, almost like it's a roller rink from the 70s?
Yeah, at first when we were under caution, I was like, man, this is going to be really distracting this whole race. But once we got going, you really don't notice it, so it wasn't that bad.
Very cool. Cole Custer joining us this morning on the show. He's a rookie in NASCAR, 3 top 10 finishes, and won at Kentucky last weekend. One of the highlights of the NASCAR season thus far. Very cool weekend, very cool story. Cole, it is great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time, and congratulations on the big win. Can't wait to watch it continue throughout this summer.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Cole Custer joining us this morning on the show. Great kid, great interview. Very, very cool story. When we come back here on the program, Advanced Analytics, the sounds of summer, led by Schwartz's Sons Baseball Clinic. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's Advanced Analytics.
So the other day, Schwartz posted video of his son hitting a double. He said smoking a double into left center field at a baseball camp. And so we asked you, after hearing and seeing Schwartz's son smoke a double, are sports officially back? On Twitter, 65% of you said no. On Facebook, 72% of you said no. According to the American Camp Association, each year, more than 14 million children and adults attend camp in the U.S. So this is a little shocking for you guys.
I love it. That's just that.
this is a little shocking that you guys don't consider sports back, because Schwartz had tweeted he's going to attend three sporting events, one of which being his son's Little League camp. So he said it was a sporting event. I don't know what you guys are waiting around for. Sports are back, man. I were told free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So our epic fail is the New York Yankees piping in Schwartz's son's baseball camp noise into the stadium. Here's your fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This is what Yankee Stadium should pipe in to the stadium.
Go, 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 go! Stay, stay, stay!
You know, Susie.
Amazing, amazing, and that is baseball.
Aaron Judge.
That's the sound of baseball, Susan. Gardner. Stand-up double. The Yankees have a man on the sixth.
This guy's a gamer. He's always been the heart and soul of the Yankees.
Go, 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 go.
G-Man is a He-Man.
And smartly, he stays at second base.
And you know, Susan, that is just some heads-up base running by Gardner there. Knew he couldn't turn it into three.
Well, it'd be a 2-2-2-2.
Knew the Yankees trailed by a run and said, I'm just going to stay, stay, stay. You could hear the crowd imploring Brett to stay at second base.
Boo, Jabbo! Boo, Jabbo! Stay, stay, stay.
Amazing, amazing, and that is baseball. You know you can't predict baseball.
Go, 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 go.
How do you like that?
Stay, stay, stay.
And Gardner is into second with a stand-up double.
Don't you know?
I had nothing to do with it.
John, the best part about this Yankees club is their chemistry. You can actually hear them yelling, stay, stay, stay.
The right-hand hitter from Colorado.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
As our beat reporter on all things Schwartz, Mraz, please monitor his timeline for more audio for soundcheck of his kids playing in camps and clinics.
Well, absolutely. Look, that's the best play-by-play we have right now, so I'm thinking we could do a whole highlight package. That and some MLS highlights, and away we go.
I want to just keep playing clips and soundcheck, and then the credit is credit at Schwartz Sports on Twitter for our actualities.
We'll work on the Bradley lacrosse highlights next. I'm hoping those come in.
I am too. And by the way, so is that the Schwartz son that did yell at you, Boo Chubbo, at the block party 5 years ago?
No, the Boo Chubbo one is playing lacrosse right now. This one was the one that was running around the house naked looking for his parents when he went to the bathroom.
Thanks for the clarification.
There was a difference between the two.
Which was the son that got clotheslined by your cousin?
That was now also the lacrosse player. This one, again, his only fallacy was the house running around naked looking for his parents.
Which was the son that got into a drop kick battle with one of the kids at the block party because he got dunked in the dunk tank?
Again, that's the lacrosse player, Brad. Okay. So he's had a lot of off the field issues.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, I should say Andrew Bogish on your headlines, and Connor Green as your associate producer today. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.